Welcome to this deep dive.
Great to be here.
In this lesson, we're exploring Lesson 2.1, Understanding Remote and Hybrid Work Environments. If you've watched the overview, this will build on that. If not, you'll still be able to follow along.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now let's go further by exploring practical examples, future workplace relevance, responsible use, and how you can build confidence with this skill. Because, you know, here's a rather counterintuitive reality we are facing right now.
Oh, the productivity paradox.
Exactly. Recent workplace data shows that many people are actually working up to 30% more hours in a hybrid setup than they did in a traditional office.
Which is wild.
Right. And yet they are somehow feeling, well, less productive and way more disconnected.
Mm.
So today we're going to figure out exactly why that is happening and, more importantly, how you can avoid falling into that trap.
Yeah, that paradox of working more but achieving less is really the defining challenge of this era, I think. The landscape of how we work and learn is just shifting beneath our feet. I mean, we are moving away from an industrial model that has been the standard for over a century.
It's a huge pivot.
It is. So to navigate this, we have to start by completely resetting our baseline definitions of what an office actually is. The framework we are examining today gives us two distinct operational models to understand remote work and hybrid work.
Let's clearly define those, actually, because people toss those terms around interchangeably all the time, but they are structurally completely different.
Oh, completely.
Like, remote work means you, whether you are an employee, a freelancer, or a student, are operating from a completely different location entirely via digital technologies.
Right. The location doesn't matter.
Exactly. Your physical location is basically irrelevant to the execution of your tasks. You could be in a coffee shop in Seattle or a living room in London.
Yeah.
Hybrid work, on the other hand, is the conscious, intentional combination of in-person and remote collaboration. You know, you are bridging two distinct physical and digital worlds on a regular basis.
And to really understand the mechanical difference there, think about the invisible infrastructure of a traditional physical workspace.
Okay.
In an office or a physical classroom, so much of your communication is just ambient. You don't even realize you are doing it.
Oh, for sure.
Like, you see a colleague packing their bag, you instantly know they're leaving for the day. You see a closed conference room door, you know a private meeting is happening.
Or you hear a sigh from the desk next to you, and you just know someone is frustrated with the task.
Exactly. And when you move to a remote environment, every single one of those ambient nonverbal cues just vanishes completely.
I was thinking about this loss of ambient communication, and the best way I can picture remote work is to compare it to playing in a jazz band.
Okay, I like that.
But, you know, everyone is sitting in a completely different recording studio across the globe. You still have to make music together. You still have to hit the right notes at the right time to create a cohesive song. But the way you cue each other fundamentally changes. You can't just nod at the bass player to signal that a solo is ending anymore.
That's such a great analogy. Because what's fascinating here is how far we can actually take that analogy to understand the mechanics of digital work.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you lose the ability to nod at the bass player, you have to replace that visual cue with a structural one.
Like what?
Well, in a remote setup, you suddenly need a click track that everyone can hear, which represents your structured daily routines. And you need highly annotated sheet music, which represents your shared digital documents.
Ah, I see.
The organizations you will be working for, or the universities you are attending, are increasingly adopting this distributed collaboration, but they are desperately looking for people who actually know how to read that new digital sheet music.
Okay, let's unpack this, because losing that physical space creates a massive vacuum. We have to replace the physical building with something, which brings us to the concept of digital workspaces.
Yes, the new office.
Right. If we don't have the brick and mortar office, the platforms we use to communicate and collaborate become the new literal office building, right? Like, Microsoft Teams becomes the new water cooler.
Zoom is the new conference room.
Exactly. And Google Workspace is the new filing cabinet.
And that transition is exactly where the friction occurs. When you log into your organization's Slack or Teams channel, you are basically walking through the front door of the company.
Yeah, it's where everything lives.
It's where the culture lives and where the knowledge is stored. But the problem arises when we try to take the behaviors of the Freckle office and just awkwardly force them into that digital workspace.
Well, I have to push back a little here, especially on the hybrid model.
Okay, let's hear it.
Because while it sounds incredibly balanced on paper, you know, a little bit of focus time at home, a little bit of collaborative time in the office. Is hybrid work just the worst of both worlds if you don't manage it perfectly?
It definitely can be.
I hear constantly from colleagues who feel like they're just getting all the digital fatigue of staring at a screen all day. Plus the frustrating commute when they do have to drag themselves into a physical building just to sit on Zoom calls anyway.
We office Zoom call, yeah. If we connect this to the bigger picture, that specific fiction is exactly why our exploration today places such a heavy emphasis on workplace adaptability.
Right.
Because you are describing the default state of unmanaged hybrid work. If it is just a random chaotic mix of home and office without a clear strategy, it absolutely becomes the worst of both worlds.
So we need structure.
Highly structured collaboration methods. It requires an organization and you as an individual to actually analyze your task. You have to know which tasks like deep coding, writing, or data analysis are best suited for the quiet isolation of your home office.
Yeah.
And you need to know which tasks like initial project kickoffs, complex problem solving, or team building actually benefit from the dynamic energy of a physical room.
So it's moving away from the mindset of where am I supposed to sit today? And moving toward what kind of work am I actually doing today and where is the optimal environment to execute it?
Precisely.
But that requires a massive amount of self-management.
Mm-hmm.
How do you actually survive and thrive when you are entirely responsible for your own structure?
It requires building an entirely new set of habits. Think about it.
Hmm.
When you are in a traditional environment, the structure is externally imposed on you.
Oh, sure. The building opens at 9 a.m. The lunch truck arrives at noon.
The lights dim at 5 p.m.
Yeah.
The physical environment literally dictates your routine. But when you're sitting in your living room, that external scaffolding is just gone.
It really is.
You have to build it yourself to keep your productivity upright.
Yeah, because without that self-imposed scaffolding, the day just blurs into this one long, unstructured mass of emails, random snacks, and half-finished tasks.
The kitchen is right there.
It is. And suddenly it's 8 p.m., you are exhausted, and you feel like you haven't actually accomplished anything meaningful. So we have to build routines. And part of that structure involves mastering productivity systems and understanding the profound difference between synchronous and asynchronous work.
We really need to define those terms clearly because they are the engine of modern work.
Let's do it.
Synchronous work is what we are used to. It happens at the same time. A phone call, a Zoom meeting, a live brainstorming session. Everyone has to be present in that exact moment.
Right.
Asynchronous work, on the other hand, is the act of completely decoupling communication from time.
Decoupling it. Okay.
Yeah. It means I can send a message, leave a comment, or update a document, and the workflow is designed so that I don't need you to respond immediately for me to keep making progress.
I want to dig into that because the mechanics of asynchronous work are so often misunderstood. It's not just sending an email and waiting.
Definitely not.
It's about how you package the information. Like a bad asynchronous message is sending a chat that says, hey, do you have a minute? And then just waiting for a reply.
Oh, the dreaded hey ping. I hate that.
Right. It's the worst. A good asynchronous message provides the context, the specific question, and the deadline all up front so the person can process it on their own time without a back and forth ping pong match.
Exactly. And to take it a step further, think about the psychology behind why we rely so heavily on synchronous video calls and why it causes so much burnout.
Zoom fatigue.
Yes. The research around Zoom fatigue is fascinating. When you are on a video call, your brain is working in overdrive to process nonverbal cues, eye contact, micro expressions, body language that are coming through a screen with a slight millisecond delay.
Oh, wow. So your brain is just constantly lagging.
Yeah, it's desperately trying to sync up with the person on the other end, and it is exhausting. Add to that the mirror effect of constantly seeing your own face on the screen, which heightens self-evaluation and stress.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because the framework we are looking at provides a real-world case study that perfectly illustrates how to solve this exact nightmare.
The University Project.
Yes, the University Project team. Now, I want you, listening right now, to imagine you are leading this team. Let's make it messy. You have five people, three are in New York, one is in London, and one is in Tokyo, and you have a massive presentation due on Friday.
Oof, okay. Well, if you try to manage that team using traditional synchronous methods, the project will just collapse before it even begins.
Totally.
Trying to find a single hour where New York, London, and Tokyo are all awake and available on a Zoom call is a logistical nightmare.
It's impossible.
And when you do finally get them on the call, the Tokyo team member is exhausted because it's midnight, and the London team member is distracted because they're eating dinner.
Exactly. So how does a highly adaptable leader handle this? The blueprint for distributed collaboration requires you to flip the
You put
ratio.
the ratio, yeah.
You use those synchronous virtual meetings incredibly sparingly. You might have one 30-minute kickoff call to establish rapport and set the vision.
Just to say hi and align.
Right. But the vast majority of the actual execution happens asynchronously in shared spaces, like Google Workspace.
But here is the critical mechanism for making that work. It cannot just be a blank shared document where everyone dumps their thoughts. It has to be architected.
How so?
Well, a highly functional remote team uses techniques like putting a decision log at the very top of the shared document. This way, when the person in Tokyo wakes up and logs on, they don't have to scroll through 40 pages of passive-aggressive comments in the margins trying to figure out what happened while they slept.
Oh, that's brilliant.
They just read the decision log. We decided to cut section three. Please focus your research on section four.
It's about setting the rules of engagement for your digital jazz band. You establish clear communication schedules, which essentially function as an internal service level agreement, like an SLA for your team.
Yeah.
You agree, if I tag you in a comment, the expectation is that you review it within 24 hours, not 24 seconds.
Which is such a relief.
It really is. It eliminates the anxiety of feeling like you need to be constantly checking your notifications.
And when you execute that properly, the result is significantly improved collaboration. It respects everyone's biological prime time.
Biological prime time. I love that.
Yeah, you know, the morning person can tackle complex coding at 6 a.m., and the night owl can review the architecture at midnight. You are optimizing for output rather than optimizing for simultaneous presence.
But that level of constant asynchronous connectivity brings up a really tough challenge.
What's that?
Well, if our entire workplace lives inside Google Workspace and Microsoft Teams on the laptop sitting on our kitchen table, how do we stop work from invading our personal lives 24/7? Because if the office is always in my backpack or buzzing in my pocket, it feels like I'm never actually leaving work.
This raises an important question, and it is honestly, arguably, the most critical aspect of navigating this digital landscape, the ethical, responsible, and safe use of these technologies.
Yeah.
Responsible digital transformation isn't just a corporate mandate to maximize efficiency and profit. It is equally about how you, as an individual, establish boundaries to protect your mental health and personal well-being.
Because burnout in a remote environment isn't just a buzzword. It is an incredibly real physiological response to a lack of boundaries.
It is. When the physical boundaries of the office disappear, the psychological boundaries often go right out the window with them.
Yeah, there's no drive home to decompress.
Exactly. This circles right back to the mandate for structured routines. Those communication schedules we just discussed aren't just designed to tell you when you should be working. They are essential for telling you when it is safe to stop working.
That's a great distinction.
Using technology responsibly means developing the discipline to explicitly log off.
Which ties perfectly into one of the recommended readings for this topic, a book called Deep Work.
Oh, a classic.
The premise is that the ability to focus intensely without distraction is a rare and incredibly valuable superpower in today's economy. But you cannot achieve a state of deep work if your nervous system is constantly anticipating a Slack notification from your boss at 9 p.m. on a Tuesday.
No, you'll be constantly on edge.
Right. You have to build the scaffolding that says, from 6 p.m. until 8 a.m., my digital office is closed.
And communicating those boundaries is a core part of your digital skill set. It can be as simple as utilizing the status features built into these platforms.
Like sending an away message.
Exactly. A status update that explicitly says, offline for the evening, we'll review all tags tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. That manages the expectations of your colleagues and gives you the psychological permission to disconnect without guilt.
Yeah.
It requires discipline, yes, but it is entirely non-negotiable if you want to sustain a long-term career in a distributed environment without burning out.
So how do we take all of this theory, all of these mechanics, and actually build the muscle memory? There is a really fantastic practical application activity designed for this, and I want to challenge you to do it today.
That's a really good one.
Don't just listen to this discussion and immediately move on to the next task. Take 15 minutes, sit down, and actively compare remote, hybrid, and traditional workplace models, but do it specifically for your own intended career path.
That customization is where the real learning happens, because the friction points and the benefits of a hybrid model are going to look vastly different depending on your field.
Very true.
Like, if you are training to be a software engineer, your digital tool set and asynchronous workflows will look very different than if you are aiming to be an event planner coordinating physical logistics, or a graphic designer needing real-time visual feedback. You need to identify the unique variables for your specific context.
And while you are mapping that out for your own career, use this reflection prompt to guide your thinking. How can adaptability and communication improve success in remote and hybrid environments? Right. Notice it doesn't ask which software is best. It asks about adaptability.
Because adaptability is the ultimate metric for success in the future of work. I mean, the specific technology will inevitably change. The platforms you use 10 years from now might make Zoom and Teams look like archaic relics.
Well, let's hope so.
Yeah, right. But the underlying fundamental ability to adapt to new flexible collaboration methods, to figure out how to communicate intent, tone, and clarity regardless of the medium, that is a skill that will never become obsolete.
Speaking of making yourself obsolete-proof, if you want to truly master these habits and understand the philosophy behind them, there is some further reading we highly recommend.
Definitely.
Check out the books Remote, Deep Work, and The Future of Work. These titles aren't just technical manuals about how to use software. They're profound explorations into how we navigate this entirely new way of living, learning, and producing value in the world.
They provide the crucial broader context. Understanding why these macroeconomic shifts toward distributed work are happening allows you to position yourself strategically to take advantage of the flexibility they offer, rather than, you know, feeling overwhelmed by the endless tide of digital communication.
So what does this all mean? Let's bring everything we've explored today together. First, remote work relies entirely on the intentional architecture of digital communication. You have to be deliberate, you need a click track, and you need clear sheet music, because those ambient physical cues are gone.
Perfect summary.
Second, hybrid workplaces require supreme task awareness. It's not just about spending 2 days at home and 3 days in the office. It is about aligning the specific task to the optimal environment.
Yep.
Third, whether you are fully remote or hybrid, your personal structured routines are your scaffolding. They're the only thing that will maintain your productivity while fiercely protecting your personal well-being. And finally, your ability to adapt to new methods of communication is your greatest professional asset.
What we are witnessing is a massive paradigm shift. For over a century, presence was used as a proxy for productivity.
Meaning, if you were at your desk, you were working.
Exactly. If a manager saw you sitting at your physical desk, they assumed you were working. We are moving into a world where output, clear asynchronous communication, and the actual value you deliver are the true measures of success.
Which makes sense.
It does. It is a much more demanding environment, but it is also one that offers unprecedented freedom if you know how to navigate it.
I love that distinction, presence versus output. That completely changes how you structure your entire day. And I want to leave you with one final provocative thought to ponder as you log off and transition to your next task today. If the physical office of the past was all about where we worked, the digital workspace of the future is entirely about how we work together. What is one specific digital communication routine you can build right now that your future self will thank you for?
A fantastic question to leave on. Keep questioning your own workflows. Stay deeply curious about how you interact with the tools you use. And above all, remain incredibly responsible in how you manage your personal digital boundaries. Cultivating those habits now will ensure you remain adaptable, confident, and future-ready in a landscape that will only continue to evolve.
Remember to review the end-of-module study guide and complete the workbook activities to really lock in these concepts and make them your own. We'd like to acknowledge the reference materials supporting this lesson, specifically the recommended texts, Remote, Deep Work, and The Future of Work. While today's lesson brief didn't specify the author names or publishing dates for these editions, these titles are foundational for mastering digital workspaces alongside tools like Microsoft Teams, Zoom, and Google Workspace. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive, and we will see you next time.